Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Across the ocean in a silver bird, flying into another world, flying down the Pacific coast, flying up in a silver ghost. Stone Deaf in the USA by Motorhead from the album Rock and Roll. A rather underrated Motorhead album, if you ask me, if you've watched my discussion of Motorhead with Adi from Solstafir, I would say go and have a look over on YouTube. Rock and Roll, underrated album. That's kind of where I began with Motorhead. And I always loved that song, Stone Deaf in the USA. Why am I talking about that? Well, I'm going to talk a bit about the US and A, Vinland, I suppose, as Typo Negative made famous once again. Because we are, with Primordial, coming to play this month at Maryland Death Fest and four other shows. I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to talk about what it takes for a European band to get to the USA. I know I've probably laboured the point before and discussed that. And I think a lot of people in the States, well, a lot of people everywhere, don't quite realise some of the hoops you have to jump through to get over to the USA. So I'm going to just look at all of the things that have to line up together. So this is going to be a podcast a bit with some technical stuff, with some nerdy booking stuff, with some maths and, you know, some few figures and all that kind of stuff. So let's get into it. Stone Deaf in the USA, or rather a little bit deaf in the USA, because I'm sure after 1,000+ gigs, most definitely I have lost the top end of my hearing. So if you do try and talk to me in a bar, it's either that A, I cannot hear you, because, as I said, what happens is the peripheral noise becomes louder than people speaking right into your ear, or maybe I'm just ignoring you, one or the other. This podcast, as ever, is sponsored by Metal Blade Records, the home of Primordial. 40 years of independence in a world where most of the other metal competitors long since sold their souls to the majors. That, my friends, is worth something. As Bolthor would say, in a world of compromise, some don't. Well, there you go. So you can use the promo code AA24 over at indiemerch.com. Use the links underneath wherever you get this podcast, and you can find that. Shipping these days is a hell of a cost. As all things are now a hell of a cost. The price of your dreams has gone up, my friends. Little Irish in-joke reference for you there if you're listening to me from the Midlands. The very lovely county of Longford, for example. You might understand that reference. Well now, you can follow me over at nemdianga_primordial on Instagram to get my not-so-exciting adventures. And primordial_official. It's the only official Instagram page with Primordial. We got to the party late, as most Irish people do. I remember when there was lots of Polish living in Ireland. We made so many metal friends here, and we had so many good house parties with just this huge group of awesome Polish metal guys, some of whom are listening. And they would organise parties that would start at 3 and 4 p.m. and all the Irish would roll in at 8 or 9 p.m. and this would be the clash, the conflict of cultures, and because they all wanted to, the table spread with lots of food, a shot between every drink, that kind of thing, get drunk by 5 or 6, go out earlier and come back earlier, whereas the Irish, of course, trying to get them out at 3 and 4 and 5 in the afternoon to a house party. Not really. They want to stay in your house to 3 and 4 and 5 a.m. Anyway, what am I talking about? Let's discuss the US and A. But first of all, some of you wonder why I don't discuss cancel culture enough. Why lately? Perhaps I'm not discussing enough politics for you. Hey, there's 200 episodes and there's quite a few about cancel culture and all that kind of thing. But more specifically, sometimes why don't I address rumours about me, about Primordial, that kind of thing? The thing is that this is the Alan Avro podcast. It's not the Primordial podcast. And sometimes I think airing dirty linen in public or dirty washing in public is just exactly that. It's a bit unsightly. It's a bit vulgar. And you're also, you know, you're playing the game. So usually not discussing these things is the best way to do things, because once you do that, you validate sometimes the most egregious and daft claims. But I would say this to the guy who was seemingly a bit upset about not being able to cancel Primordial from a gig that's coming soon. I won't mention where. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I would extend my hand of friendship to say, come and have a beer with me, have a bit of a chat. We can discuss Primordial, we can discuss Irish politics, we can discuss Irish history. Maybe we can discuss the coffin ships, maybe we can discuss the Irish famine. Maybe we can discuss, well, possibly where your heritage comes from. Perhaps once upon a time your ancestors came across on a coffin ship across to the USA to make a new life for themselves. The like of which we, of course, sing about within Primordial. Could be. And maybe we can discuss why. Why would you wish to exert such authoritarian tendencies? Because politics is not a T-shirt. Well, my friends, let's get on with this. And that offer stands. His seemingly centrist views on his podcast are just a smokescreen. He's really gaslighting you. Or maybe it's just what I think. So let's discuss what it takes to get a band to the USA. Let's discuss the financial workings of this. Now, first things first to consider is simple, boring economics that I've discussed on the podcast before. And that is that post-lockdown, you've noticed you're living in the middle of a, you know, cost of living crisis, but the cost of anything, related to travel has gone through the roof. I think that travel is going to become like literally a luxury option in the future, because can you really see, you know, what can we say during all of these crises, the people that control the supply and the demand make the most money. And most of the energy companies are posting their biggest profits ever for their shareholders, while, you know, holding a grip on the distribution of energy, whatever particular type it may be. So flights have gone through the roof. Some of you may know I do a little bit of booking for a booking agency called Dragon Productions in Germany. You can go and take a look at their Facebook page. I've got everything from Esoteric to Virgin Steel. Speaking of Virgin Steel, one of my favourite bands from the olden days, especially Invictus. In fact, that's where Dara from Invictus took the name for Invictus, more or less, you know, not from the perfume. Although he does smell great. Did I say that bit out loud? Well, anyway, Virgin Steel. I booked Virgin Steel at a festival in Spain last summer. They don't play many shows, but the odd one, they're starting to move a little bit, and people are beginning to remember what amazing records, and I think they are amazing, House of Atreus, Marriage of Heaven and Hell, Part 2, Part 1, Noble Savage, all of these albums should be considered way more classic than they are at this moment in time in this sort of old school pantheon of, respect, put some respect on the name of Virgin Steel. Anyway, flights from New York to end up in Madrid and then a short drive to the festival were 1,300 euro for each member. Now, think about that. Now, admittedly, it was left somewhat late, but those were flights that once upon a time you could have done Madrid to New York for maybe 450, 550, 650, 100% more. Well, more expensive. Did I just do that math wrong? Anyway, yes. Twice as expensive than before. And everything is like this. So whereas bands would have toured the USA maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I mean, I remember at one stage they were selling Dublin to Boston flights for 299 euro. I sound like a travel agent right now. A travel agent who's gone out of business. But everything has gone up exponentially. And that's something to consider. When you go to Maryland Death Fest, where we are playing, on this Sunday evening, I am led to believe, consider every foreign band who has flown in to MDF and the fact that all of their flights are twice as expensive probably as they were if you went to MDF in 2018. Consider that. Consider the huge costs that have gone up for putting on that festival. Consider the insurance costs, which have all gone up post-lockdown. Insurance companies lost a lot of money, I think, during lockdown. And they decided, the act of God, the act of Fauci, whatever you want to call it, made getting insurance for a public event like this exponentially much more expensive. Think of all these things to consider. That's why when you will go to the merch stand at shows now in the USA, the merch is $30, $40, $50. Before we get into the fact that many venues, of course, are taking 10, 15, 20, 25, 30% of the merch just for literally providing a table for you to sell merch at. Sometimes not even someone to sell it for you. I did a podcast about it. I think I called it merch seeking, as in a take on the modern concept of rent seeking. And venues, especially venues who are, if they're dealing with foreign bands, that 20-30% is a foreign band's, a European band's profit margin. The only thing that could be, if they're in a van, getting them from A to B because of rising gas costs. And yet venues are, they just go, it's just the rule, it's the law. It doesn't seem to be any state law that for doing literally nothing, you should be able to take merch commission from bands. Of course, bands should be able to then ask in recompense a percentage of the bar sales because they are providing the crowd. But don't work like that, does it? There ain't no musicians union to protect these kind of things, because what that would require would be for huge bands to basically clamp down on this kind of stuff and say, I'm sorry, no more merch commissions for you. But of course, most of those bands are either signed to a Live Nation or one of the big companies who own most of the venues. So you can see how it kind of, it's the, the dog chases its own tail. No, that's the wrong analogy, isn't it? You can see how this argument kind of percolates, how it moves, and that if you come to the merch stand at, say, our show in LA or Arizona or one of the other ones, there's only four, I think I should remember the other two. And I would hate to say it, that maybe the merch might be, I'm not really sure what it might be yet, but be sure that if it's a little bit more expensive than you thought, it's because the venue is charging a percent commission. So in reality, we don't really have much choice. And also, you can't print merch in Europe really and bring it to the USA. Because if the customs find it at the airport, you are in quite some serious trouble. So let's talk about the visa, the petition. And this is something a bit boring, but I think that it's nerdy stuff that maybe is worth considering when you come and see a European band. Because if you've seen a European band playing in your local town or city in the US and to probably less than 200 people, they are, unless they've sold a ton of merchandise, they are probably not making anything from that show. It's like the law of diminishing returns. To create an audience in the USA, you have to keep going back to tour. But the first however many you do, you don't make any money. And that's sadly when I consider the career of Primordial, the career arc over all these decades, is probably my biggest regret to have not toured America more times. And that basically is down to we are the situation that we are in the same boat as many, many European bands. And that is that we aren't professional. We aren't professional musicians. A professional musician means somebody who is making a living from making music, from being creative. Now, that could be maybe you're going to have to hustle 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 different things. You're going to have to need a Patreon. By the way, patreon.com, Alan Averill. Yeah, you can see where I'm, you know, you can see the conundrum. You can see the wheels turning. You can't just survive from just playing music unless maybe you are in maybe Behemoth or a Monomarth, Ghost, for example. So the problem this presents for many European bands is that you have to work. You've got the boring, mundane responsibilities of life. The nuts and bolts of life dictate that you got to pay the rent. And if you know anything about Ireland, that rent is expensive. So the idea of being a professional musician, say, maybe in 2008, Primordial could have quit all the jobs and said, all in the ring, 2-3 tours a year, every festival, and perhaps the band would have been bigger than it was. Perhaps not, though, also, because you become less exclusive, less interesting, less exotic. Were Irish people ever considered exotic? I don't know. Have you ever seen a ginger in a sports car? Doesn't scream exotic to me. Doesn't seem to me to be even something that we should see in reality, in the real world. Gingers on the beach? No. And I can say this because I am an ex. Well, I am a ginger. So, what am I talking about? Yes, listen, the sun is shining for the first time in about 6 or 7 or 8 months in Ireland. So I'm feeling a little bit giddy, a little bit lightheaded. Because, as I said, gingers are not supposed to be out in the sunshine. What am I talking about? Right. What I'm saying is that most bands are not professional musicians. They are trying to juggle doing what they can with their jobs, with their responsibilities. And that's what Primordial does. So if you have a normal job and you have a couple of weeks holidays, which you mostly spend on going on tour, you do festivals at some of the weekends where, you know, you can make some money, albeit less money for the reasons outlined above with flights and other commissions and lots of other new artist taxes. France and Italy especially are just creating new tax percentages. I think it's 21% on top of what you're taxed in your home country as well, like a double taxation. You know, and local musicians unions, like we have, you have, I think, the CAE in the USA, it's IMRO in Ireland, and they don't try and tackle these things. So that's a whole other podcast, though. So the reality is you're making less money from festivals you were 5 years ago, even though the fees have maybe increased a little bit, but they have certainly not increased with what we could consider the rate of costs or inflationary costs, whatever you want to say. So most musicians, for most of the bands that you like from Europe, are not professional. They're not professional musicians, and they have to do what they can. So the reality is, of course, if all of your first tours in the USA are, you know, sort of building the structure of your house, but yet you have to come home and pay the bills, and in Europe, you can make a little bit more money. The decision is kind of made for you. And what ends up happening is that you have to sacrifice. You have to make a decision. And that is either I take my holidays to go and do like a week or two or three in Europe and come home with enough money to pay the rent and a little bit more. Or I go to the USA, have a great time and come home and go, how do I pay the bills? This is the conundrum that many, many bands are in. It's one of the reasons why, for example, the 70,000 tons of metal cruise ship does so well, because it's in international waters. So you don't need dun, 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 the visa, the work petition. So let's discuss that. If you land in Canada, they waived this artist visa in Canada. I think when we played Messe de Mort, we didn't need any visa. As a foreign artist, to earn something, they waived this visa. Now, to put it in context, you don't need a visa as a European landing in Europe. There's a small price to pay into the UK now because of Brexit. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's £50 or £100. In fact, it could even be less than that, but certainly not more than £100, I don't think. You can hit me up in the comments if I'm wrong, but it certainly is nothing compared to the costs of a European band coming to the USA. So, if you are an artist and you think you're going to be paid something in the USA, it could be $100 a show, it could be $200 a show, it could be, you know, whatever it is. If you're earning, then you must need a visa, a work petition. And so the process kind of goes a little bit like this. You need somebody to petition for you in the USA, which is kind of like vouching for you. So in the case of Primordial this time, it would have been through Maryland Death Fest and their associated company holdings or whatever. They then need to employ a lawyer, a company to convey the petition. The petition is kind of like, well, it's the clue is in the name. It's basically proof to the authorities, you know, the authorities in the USA that you are who you say you are, that the band has history. You know, it's kind of proof of the band's existence. You have to provide links to social media. You've got to provide links to Spotify. You've got to provide. It used to be a huge, big paper folder, which included reviews and all this kind of thing. I'm not exactly sure why it would make any difference that you had a history as a band than if you just started a week before and were going on a promo tour, or a month before, or a year before. But basically, it's a kind of financial racket, to be honest, in that the petition needs to be conveyed by the legal system and ratified by the legal system. This comes at a cost of about $3,500 to $4,000 total. So this is around about for every band. Now, if you're somebody out there who can do it for $2,800, well, listen, it wasn't my choice who I worked with in relation to these things. And I don't mean that in a sort of negative way, but there's always somebody out there in the comments or who messages me going, we can do this for 20% less. And okay, I mean, that's the same with everything, really. It's a cost. It is what it is. And it's going to be about €3,500. Now, the people who want to bring you over to the States, you know, the booking agents, most booking agents don't want anything to do with this. So this has to be either maybe through your label, if they do such a thing as tour support anymore, which is paying for bands to go on tour. But most labels don't really do tour support anymore because they just don't see. It used to be back in the day in the 80s and 90s, you know, this is the Metallica supporting Ozzy, Anthrax supporting Maiden, Slayer supporting Wasp. This was how you broke a new band. You paid for huge tour support for them to break with an old band, and the old band's, or the established band's fans latched onto this new band. It doesn't really work like that anymore, A, because I think bands who do pay onto tours and pay tour support, if you're going to see a classic established band, you kind of don't care about the opener. It's very, if you check even the posters of death metal bands and black metal bands touring around Europe, check the fine print of the opening one or two bands, and if there's something you've never heard of, the chances are this is somebody buying onto a tour. I understand why people do it, and if you have the money, hey, being on tour is a great experience, but very few of those bands actually break through to even something approaching the kind of lower tiers of the mainstream. It just doesn't work like that anymore. People's tastes are more atomized, so to say. So as exciting as Metallica was on Master of Puppets, they were going to capture Ozzy's mid-80s audience with just, well, it's 1986 Metallica. They're steamrolling everything in their path, of course. Different world, different times. The past is another country, as they say. So what am I talking about? What I'm trying to say is that once upon a time, it was labels who paid this petition thing. Now, very often it's bands paying the work petition visa themselves for the year ahead. You can get the visa. It costs €3,000 to €4,000, and it will, sometimes it can be for a month. Sometimes a festival might pay for your visa and they only want you to use it for their festival and they don't want other people to take advantage of it. Okay, I mean, I get that. There's festivals in Europe that want exclusivity over when they book you for a festival, they want exclusivity over a kilometre region outside of that festival. And sometimes that kilometre region could be 400 kilometres. They don't want you to play a show either month, either side of it. And that can be into another country. Sometimes they want jurisdiction over, hey, you're playing in Belgium, we don't want you to play in Holland, Germany. And it's like, well, okay. Seems kind of ludicrous to me. But anyway, It is what it is, again, as the man says, which is an idiom. Is it an is that an idiom? Either way, it's an idiot saying an idiom. It's something that I can't stand as a saying, but I end up saying it quite often. What am I talking about? Random, unprepared, unscripted nonsense as usual, but this is why you come to Agitators Anonymous for my rambling all over the place thoughts. Yes, indeed, I thank you. Right, well, what I'm trying to say is that these costs are usually the bands, sometimes not the bands, but you start off paying this 3,000 or 4,000 euro visa. Now, what you have to do is you have to apply through your local American embassy. In Ireland, that's not too far from me, but it's in Dublin. And you bring your petition with you. You have an insanely long online petition to fill out, which uses some very old technology, and the site just crashes constantly. Constantly. It's so arduous a process to do. I mean, it's not like, you know, going into the trenches in the First World War or something. Just for comparison's sake. But it is a long, laborious process. You then have to send that application in. You get a digital time for your, obviously you get an email response if it's been accepted, and you have to go to the American Embassy for an interview. Now, the American Embassy in Dublin, what happens is then you go, sometimes people go there at 7 a.m. to be first in the queue. You queue and it just takes as long as it takes, and they go through the process with you. And it is a very complicated process when you get there. They take your passport, they send it back out, you have to go and collect it from another place. The whole process ends up taking weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks from the moment when you start the petition to when you actually get it back in your passport. So every member has to do this. Listen, I mean, I suppose in theory it doesn't sound too over the top, but it is a laborious protest. Processed, Mr. Freud. And you can also be denied if you've, you know, made a mistake or for many other reasons. If you have any kind of criminal record, if you don't make that known, or if you try and come in under the radar and they find you out, which they can do, they can stop you when you land at the airport, they can go through your name, if they know there's a festival happening, or perhaps you're coming through with a guitar, all sorts of things, they will look up and check and see, I see you're playing gigs. Now, you can try and say, I suppose, if maybe you're not making any money. I mean, in theory, you should be able to come in and play and not make any money, which lots of people do. But this isn't going to end well, I think, and that you will end up with a 7 or 8 year ban from entering the United States if you try and come in under the radar, so to speak. So let's consider that for a moment. If you have a band of 5 people, let's say each flight is costing 750 euro each one. This equals 3,750 euro for flights, and your petition has cost 4,000 euro. So we're already at 7,000, let's say 7,500 of costs just to get to the first show. You've had to print your merch. Maybe that's another 3,000 or 4,000 euro if you print 400, 500 shirts. Let's say at $6 or $7 a pop, 500. Yeah, same costings again. So it can be, well, if you go and see a European band, that on the first night of the tour, they could be $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 in the hole. So, of course, if you're only coming over for a week, it's very hard to climb out of that hole. The money you make rises exponentially the longer you tour, of course, because you pay off your costs. If you're in a van, then of course, when you land in, let's say you land in Newark, you land in New York or whatever you're landing, you're going to have, mostly Europeans won't have a license to drive in the States. So, and it's also can be pretty crook and crazy and dangerous to do so. We've all read lots and lots of reports, sadly, of bands crashing and that kind of thing in the States. I wouldn't advise getting off a plane if you've come from Poland to all of a sudden get in a van and drive in the USA. So you have van costs, day-to-day van costs, including petrol, and then a driver on top of that. And also, most bookings in the USA don't provide accommodation like they do in Europe very often. So you'll end up, you know, the last time we did it, last tour we did of the USA, in everyone in a motel room, which is like 8-9 people trying to sleep wherever they can every night, trying to save money. And like this was you know, this was the rock and roll dream, getting in the van as the as Henry Rollins, you know, if you've ever listened to the I would say listen to Get in the Van, the Henry Rollins audiobook. I did it during lockdown and it was great. You know, I have some reservations here and there about Henry Rollins, but he reads it himself, and the diaries, the Black Flag diaries, are amazing. And that's Black Flag kind of cemented, they formed that early hardcore, all those bands, the Husker Du's, etc. They formed this touring circuit for bars and underground venues and all that kind of stuff, which was like, you know, fanzines in different towns and people writing to each other. And then thrash and heavy metal kind of stole a bit from that and started going around the same places. Because before that, it was literally big bands playing in arenas, bands playing covers in big bars or ballrooms, as they would have called it. And watch the Twisted Sister documentary from the 70s and you get the idea. So playing in small little places of the room above the pub where the landlord, you know, would go, yeah, yeah, put on your Minor Threat show. All this kind of stuff. It's very romantic and it is great. I'm not here to complain about touring the States. I've done the van tours in the States and I love it. I love being in the USA. I know many people right now, it's kind of, you know, for years, I mean, it's since Bush, I think it's been since George Bush was your premier. I think it's been popular amongst people to, you know, to just bash the USA for no particular reason. not me. I like being there. I think the people are great. I like the attitude. I think it's a fascinating place. Yada yada yada, all that kind of stuff. I'm not here to cheerlead for all of that kind of thing, but that is the romantic dream, the getting in the van, the, you know, playing in the spit and sawdust places, getting upset in your gear, or playing in, you know, Louisville, Kentucky, or playing in Boston, or playing in wherever. And it's an incredible thrill. It's part of the you know, the kind of musical cultural rock and roll hegemony that the USA has had over our consciousness. As a kid, you watch movies where there were bands and vans on tour, and you know, you're standing in New York and you go and look at Times Square, and it's been in every movie. It's in your Taxi Driver, is in your brain. And you know, maybe as Americans, it's hard to understand the culture, the cultural impact all these things have. I remember standing on, you know, just outside the Rainbow in LA, down on Sunset with Kieran, Primordial Kieran. And we were just stood there like two Irishmen, you know, pale faced, sweating in the sun, looking at beautiful people rushing by us, drinking mojitos, whatever it is. And he just looked at me and he goes, you know, all that crap that you like Dokken and Cinderella. I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, it makes sense here. Not so much in a windy, grim, grey, you know, rainy suburb of North County Dublin. But here it makes sense. And then we ordered a pina colada and took our clothes off. Anyway, the point being that this is the romantic thing, to be in the back of the van in the USA. But this romantic ideal is becoming more and more and more expensive with all of these costs. Like I said, the flights, the visas, the merch, the gas between shows, all this kind of thing. And as people become, I think, more atomized about going to shows, speaking to Paul from Blood Incantation, he's saying they do better and better and better every time in the USA. And that's great to hear from many bands in the USA that's picked up from this place. I think in the early to mid 2000s, I was hearing horror shows from, you know, friends in Vader and Amorphis and other bands touring, and Samael, who were like, hey, 40 to 50 to 60 to 80 people. I think those days are thankfully kind of gone in the USA. Hey, I might be wrong. If you see any pictures of me in a few weeks standing in front of 71 people in Seattle, you can hit me up in the comments and roundly mock me. But this is it. And then, you know, there is a touring schedule put together, I suppose, more from a punk rock hardcore perspective, which is connecting venues that don't take percentage commissions of your merch. And this is very important that metal bands try and insist on this and try and use this same ideal. Sometimes metal can be far too capitalistic and far too willing to accept these percentage commissions and then give that back, you know, to just heap it onto their audience. Primordial will never do a paid for VIP meet and greet exclusive, blah, blah, blah. I just saw an ad. It just happened to pop into my head on Instagram for a band who wear masks, who are charging for VIP meet and greets. Can someone explain the logic behind that? You might as well be standing with a roadie. Hey, I don't know. Anyway, Promoti will never do that. And I think more metal bands should resist the urge to try and grab the cash, because it's a tarnish. It's a tarnish on your artistic reputation. You don't and never should pay money to have to meet any of us. We'll be at the bar anyway, most likely. And that, I think, is something that more metal bands should lean into. And also, if you're in a band and you're out there and you're touring, you say, talk to your local, to the booking agent about it and say, hey, we don't stand for this 20, 30% merch commission, and put it into the contract. Now, venues might just laugh you and go, get out of here. You don't have the power to do that kind of thing. But unless every band tries to do this, it'll just keep spreading and keep spreading and keep spreading. So those are the costs: the visa, the petition, the flights, the day-to-day gas, the hotel rooms, the merch, everything. I mean, for a two-week tour, it could come to $20,000-$25,000, I suppose, all in, everything. You've probably seen there's been lots of YouTube videos, and there's been lots of vlogs from lots of bands about their experiences. I might try and make one when I'm in the USA. I always think to myself, record a few bits and pieces and this, that and the other. And then I just find myself sitting in the backstage talking shit to somebody, listening to Wasp, drinking a beer, and I forget to make the content. And like I said, the invitation for that beer is open to the folks who wanted to do a little bit of cancelling. Well, my friends, that's just it. Stone deaf in the USA. We will see you in a few weeks if you are coming to the shows. We look forward to them. We enjoy being in the US and A. My friends, Agitators Anonymous, over and out. So what you're saying is, what I'm saying is what I'm saying.